I have often wondered, if I were to be robbed or attacked, would I be able to describe the assailant? I've heard it said that if you have a gun pulled on you, you only see the gun. The description I would probably be able to give would be so vague as to fit most of us in this room right now, if not everyone out on the street. Was he big? Yeah, he was big. How big? Big. The passage we're going to look at this morning is part of the vision John was given while on the island of Patmos. God allowed him to see into heaven. He was allowed to see what would happen, and he was allowed to see Christ. And that's what I hope for you this morning, is for you to get a glimpse of Christ. Heaven was open for him, and he gives us a word picture of Christ. The same Christ that my challenge to you this morning is for you to follow Jesus. That's the Christ. The same Christ challenging you about your thoughts and your attitudes and your actions. We're going to look at a word picture of Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on a white horse. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first part of the word picture is to see the character of Christ. He starts out this passage, and John says he sees a white horse whose rider is faithful and true. He is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is certain. He is worthy to be believed. Jesus is going to be faithful to the Father. Whatever the Father has sent him to do, he's going to do it. And he's going to be faithful to himself, because in being faithful to himself, he is being faithful to the Father, because he's not going to go against his character. But he's also going to be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to you. You can trust his word. You can trust his promises. We had some visitors yesterday from a group that I believe is basically a cult. What's interesting to me is for them to believe what they believe, that they have to believe Scripture, that a revision of Scripture that was done about 140 years ago. Now, if your concept of God is so small that for 1,800 years plus, after all the apostles had died, after Christ had come and been resurrected back to heaven, that it took God 1,800 years to get it right? No. You can trust his word, because he is faithful and he is true. When it says that he is true, what John is trying to get us to understand is that he is genuine, that he cannot lie. Jack was right. These kids may not understand all about sin, but let me tell you, it won't take them long. In fact, I suspect most of them that were down here can lie to you already. Did you do that? As you see them doing it. Jesus is faithful and he is true. He cannot lie. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And this is what made it possible for him to die a sacrificial death for all of mankind. Verse 12 talks about his eyes, that his eyes are a flame. In his omniscience, seeing and knowing all seeing and knowing everything that's going to happen. That's who Christ is. Nothing catches him by surprise. And nothing will. And nothing happens that is not a part of his plan. You say, God, why'd you let that happen? Well, let me tell you. In my finiteness, I don't understand everything that God is doing in my life or yours. But I do know this, that God is faithful and he is true. And he is doing everything because it's a part of his plan. Then it talks about a name that no one knows. There is an element about him that you will never know. There is something about him that cannot be expressed in human words. And that's the Jesus that I want you to see. You cannot put Christ in a box. You cannot define him and say, well, there it is, everything about him I've just told you. No, there is a name about him, something who he is, that you and I cannot see, cannot get. So I'm challenging you to see the character of Christ. Turn with me to hymn number 54. There's a hymn here that I want us to see. I want us to pay attention to the words. Follow along as I read the stanzas. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The second one. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Third one. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Do you believe that? I do. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. If we were to write another stanza, what would we write? Something about holiness, something about righteousness. Sometimes we only understand God's faithfulness in how we experience it. So how have you experienced his faithfulness? Man, I think back over our lives. Let me tell you, there's a good woman sitting up in the choir, and she was brave, brave to marry this guy. I think she said amen. Everybody else did. Should have. Should have. But God has been faithful over and over and over and over and over. He's proven his faithfulness. So this morning, is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he the one that you're following? Or is he like clothes that you're wearing? You'll go home, you'll put them away, and you'll not wear them for another week. If being a Christian means to be a little Christ, are you? And are you becoming more like Christ every day? If he is faithful, are you living in obedience to his commands, to his promises, to his word? If not, you may have an elevation problem. I think there's too many in the world today that has an elevation problem, because what they've done is elevated themselves up to God's level to be able to determine what they think is right and wrong. Let me tell you, there's right and wrong, and God has determined it, not you and me. And we can take a vote in here today and say, well, this is right and that's wrong. And if it goes against God's word, then we've all wasted our time and our energy, because it doesn't matter what we vote. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. It says that he has a name. If he has a name no one fully knows, are you drawing closer to him in intimacy every day? What are you doing to become more intimate. That's what the listening report's all about. Are you doing anything to draw an intimacy with Christ? Because let me tell you, if you seek Him with your heart, with all your heart, you'll find Him. So are you trying to draw closer to Him? Do you see the character of Christ? Are you seeing the word picture of Christ? The second part of the word picture is His kingship, His coronation. It said that Jesus was on a white horse, and that is the emblem of victory. This is about the time that Christ is going to come again. And I don't know, He may be saddled up right now, but if He is, then I'm ready. And if it's another 100 years, then I'm going to live for Him. One of the Psalms that I read this morning was Psalm 78, and it's not the most uplifting of Psalms, but in it the psalmist said, I am going to teach my children who are yet unborn. And I know I've shared this before, that I think it was James Dobson, he talked about his grandmother, or maybe even his great-grandmother, that the Lord impressed on her to pray for 4 generations past her. And I thought, you know what? I've been wasting my time. And so we taught our kids the things of the Lord, and it's going to be up to them. We're going to try to help, but it's going to be up to them to teach the things of the Lord. And then those kids are going to grow up and have kids, and I hope I get to see them, but they're going to be the ones that's going to have to teach their kids. But that's who Christ is, and He's coming. He is the victor. He is the conqueror. He is the King. He is victorious now. He will not be defeated. There are not 3 branches to His government. There's only one. He's King. He's King. He doesn't answer to anybody except the Father, but He understands exactly what the Father wants, and He's doing it. And it says that on His head were many diadems. Many diadems. That was a sign of royalty, and it was not one. There was many. And it was not a crown like the commanders wore. There were many, many diadems. And maybe what it was there was one for every tongue and tribe and nation on the earth. Jesus is the supreme commander, the commander of all commanders. And Jesus is leading the army of saints and martyrs. And as King, Jesus will rule the nations. All of creation is under His command. All of creation. And it says that on His robe is the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My challenge for you is to see the kingship of Christ. Have you ever met anyone famous? I mean, influential? First time I did, I reacted in such a way. How did you react? Were you nervous? Maybe a little flustered? First time I ever remember meeting a professional athlete, well, I was in high school. We were at Falls Creek, which is the summer camp there in Oklahoma, and this guy happened to play football for the Minnesota Vikings. I remember seeing him a time or two after that playing. And somebody said, he plays for the Vikings. Man, I was so nervous. I was ridiculous. I esteemed the man as important. And I reacted that way. There were others that I met that week, other youth leaders, and I didn't esteem them that way. How do you esteem Jesus? How are you treating Jesus? Do you treat Him with a reverence, a holy awe? Because He is our King, He is your King? Or has familiarity bred contempt? You know, one thing that we may be the mistake that many make within churches is that we've talked about Christ so much that we think we know all about Him, and we begin to treat Him. Let me tell you, there is something about Him that you and I don't know. And He is that good and that great and that worthy. Psalm 36 says that the ungodly's heart flatters himself. Does your heart do that? Well, I know God said not to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I know better. Well, same thing happens when you have to make a decision and you tap into man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. When you hear the news, do you ever wring your hands in worry? The whole Iran nuclear deal that's about to happen may very well be a part, a critical step in the second coming of Jesus. I do not believe Israel will be wiped off the map. We may. The United States may be, but not Israel. Do you see the kingship of Christ? Are you seeing this word picture of Christ? The third part of the word picture is his conduct. It says, in righteousness, Jesus judges and wages war. In righteousness, he judges rebellion. He judges all of your thinking and all of your behaving. There is nothing that you can hide from him, and he judges it in righteousness. So to rebel against Christ is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. And it says that Jesus wages war against his enemies and that Jesus will have complete victory. And it says that his robe is covered with blood of those he has slain. At least that's the thought of most commentators, that the blood that is on the robe of Christ is the blood of those that he has won victory over. Those who have rejected him as Lord. Those who live in rebellion of God. Now, does that sound like a soft, sissy Savior to you? And it says that enemies can even be those who do religious, pious things, Scripture does. Jesus said, you know what? There's going to be people who preach. And he said, I never knew you. But Lord, we preached, we did this, we did this. And Jesus said, I never knew you. And as the Word of God, Jesus is the maker of all things, the revealer of God, the one who makes him known. And it says out of verse 15, it says, out of his mouth comes the sword. You do know the passage that his word will not return to him void. This comes with it. That out of his mouth comes a sword and he wipes out the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron and he treads the winepress of the wrath of God. Do you see his conduct? If you do a word study of the names of God, they're all about what he does and who he is and his conduct. And we're the same way. I don't know. I don't know that we have a Miller or a Smith among us. We might. But it was Joe the Miller became Joe Miller and Pete the Smith became Pete Smith. Because a Smith and a Miller are things that people do. And that's what God is. That's the names of God. That he is our healer. That he is our provider. That he is our Holy One. So think about all the names, about how all Jesus does applies to your life. That he is your ruler, that he is your king, that he is the Holy One. So how will he judge you? Is there any rebellion? Any flippancy about you? Or are you pursuing holiness? Pursuing Christ? He will battle against your enemies if your enemies are his enemies. So what is being revealed to you about God and about yourself? We've tried to look at a word picture of Christ this morning, and we didn't scratch the surface because there's so much more. But has what's been described to you, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you know him as Lord and King? Do you know him as Lord and King? Are you living in obedience to his will? Do you see him as the Holy One? I trust this day will be used by you to Sabbath, to rest, to worship, but also to gain perspective on who you are. Are you following Christ this day? Do you know him as your Savior? There may be other questions that you're dealing with and need to respond to in obedience. But the first biggest question is do you know Jesus as your King, as your Savior?